You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to tonight's second hour. Just a quick plea that if all the madmen and terrorists and mass murderers could just give it a break for a week, Sean could have next Saturday off. This is 3 weeks in a row for Sean Bergen, former television news reporter, who comes on to address issues like this when they're in the news. And it's been a busy season right now. Earlier this year, Sean was with us for 3 weeks in a row. He was on virtually every week last year when we had the Black Lives Matter epidemic. There was always something going on. But Sean was with us for about 3 weeks in a row earlier this year, including when we were in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration. That was just a wonderful night together. Sean in person with us for the remote broadcast from D.C. Sam was there. Anyway, this is 3 weeks in a row again, but for much more somber and dire reasons. My goodness, I mean, this thing in Las Vegas, I'll just quickly say, gun control, you can take that off the table. I don't even want to talk about that. It's so ludicrous. Anybody that's going to rain down hellfire on 500 people, if you pass another law restricting guns, it's not going to faze somebody that's capable of doing that.
And furthermore, let me add this too, Sean. What part of shall not be infringed upon in the Second Amendment don't they understand?
All of that. So that concludes our take on gun control, unless Sean wants to talk about it more. But
well, look,
first of all, the
major thing that, of course, these gun control nuts are overlooking is that mass murder is also illegal.
that pretty much ends the conversation on that aspect of it. Of course, the media really wants to talk about gun control because they can't talk about the Confederate flag or anything like that in this particular case. But all right, Sean, obviously this one, there's not an angle on it. It's not a Muslim that hates Christians or a Muslim that hates the West. It's not a black on white. It's not a white on black. I mean, this thing doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. From your position as a news insider, a former TV news reporter, what's your take? What's your angle? What sense of this can you make? Or is there any sense to be made? Take it in any direction you want, brother.
It's nearly impossible to make any sense out of it because here we are a week after 58 people were gunned down, hundreds more injured in what was the largest mass shooting in the history of the nation, and we know next to nothing about this guy. We know nothing about his motives. If we're going to take at face value everything that everything that's been put out by the FBI. The FBI says that this man has no ties to terrorism. However, ISIS says that he does, and they have in the last week put out a statement claiming that Paddock, this 64-year-old degenerate gambler, is our guy. They said Paddock is our guy, and then they doubled down on it. And then they tripled down on it. So they've put out three statements from the Islamic State saying that Paddock was radicalized 6 months ago. They each successive statement that they come out with provides more and more detail, goes a little more in depth. They've even given a name to this guy, which is unpronounceable, and I'm sure you'd forget about it 10 seconds after I said it. But, you know, they're claiming this guy. And slowly but surely there are different things starting to emerge that may point to that fact. Even New York Times correspondent Rukmini Callimachi did put out a series of tweets saying that, this guy looks like he may have some ties to ISIS, according to what ISIS is saying. We have the Metro Police Authority saying that he may have been radicalized. He may have had help, but nothing definitive. Most of what we're getting is like leaks from various sources, one of whom is Alex Jones over in InfoWars, who says that there was Antifa literature found in the hotel room. We've got this former Trump campaign official, James Brower. He was running the Trump campaign up in Massachusetts. He says that somebody in the White House at a cabinet level leaked to him that they did discover a secret video profile of Paddock. Now, before we write this guy off as a kook, we should remember that he was also the first guy out there to say that former Trump campaign leader Paul Manafort was wiretapped, and he was dismissed as a kook at the time for saying that. But in the end, he was proven right. So this guy Brower says that the sources that he spoke with inside the White House say that the FBI did not want to release the video because it may trigger other cells that are out there. We just don't know. We know that he's got this Filipino girlfriend that he wired $100,000 to, and now we're finding out that he and the girlfriend had taken a bunch of cruises that had stops off in the Middle East. So, I mean, the authorities here in this country are not coming out with anything definitive, but, you know, there are a lot of, like, really strange situations and coincidences going on here. You had a Hispanic woman who was heard by eyewitnesses 45 minutes before the shooting telling concert goers, "You're all going to die tonight." I mean, I've been going to concerts since I was 12 years old, and that's never happened to me. I've never had somebody walk up and down the first few rows telling everyone in the audience they were going to die. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a riddle. It's an enigma. We're getting little dribs and drabs of information out about this guy, but nothing that is really clear-cut, definitive that we could point to, like, a public video pledge of allegiance to ISIS.
All right, Keith, we have Matt the Copperhead who wants to say a quick word to Sean Bergen. I know you have something also.
Let me just ask this one question, Sean. Have they been able to confirm whether or not the Filipino girlfriend was a Muslim or not?
I haven't seen anybody indicate that she was a Muslim. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if she was. There's a big Muslim population in the Philippines and in nearby Indonesia. But it seems to me that they brought her back. She told her story, and nothing about that has really been leaked out to the press as far as any kind of definitive, yes, you know, I'm a Muslim, and I harangued my crazy ex-boyfriend into becoming a Muslim, too. Nothing like that.
All right, Matt, we have seconds left. If we can't get your whole comment, we'll hold you over. What do you got to say?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Sean, happy belated birthday, brother. All the best to you.
Thanks.
And great talking with you guys again and being back on the greatest show here in the United States. This is a clear-cut case of an anti-white taking it to the next level. I think we can all agree on this.
Well, do we know that? I mean, I've heard some rumors that he may have been a Bernie supporter, but really, I mean, he could have been a leftist, but... I guess
with
the country music crowd would have been...
To the great Keith Alexander and Eddie the Bombardier Miller, let's take a look at boomers now in this country. You know?
Well, it's as good a theory as any. It's as good a theory as any. I mean, who knows? Maybe.
Exactly.
Maybe that's what motivated him. I mean, it makes as much sense as anything else I've heard. You think he was just an old guy that... An old liberal?
Grumpy old man.
He was having a bad day.
Well, I guess a grumpy old white guy. But no, I think there's a little more into this. I don't think his girlfriend was a Muslim, Mary Lou, having, extensive knowledge of the Filipina community. I don't think that's a narrative. But anyway, guys, I hope to see you in...
All right. Memphis, yeah, thank you so much.
Soon.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, Matt, we love you, brother. And we got to take a quick break. Thanks for calling in. More with Sean Bergen right after this on the Political Cesspool. We're talking about, of course, the Las Vegas shooting. And we'll stay on that topic the rest of the night.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
I think Sean Bergen will appreciate this. Keith Alexander, and Sean can tell us if this is accurate or not, and then I want to get back to the facts at hand. But Keith has come up with this media narrative chart for how they're supposed to cover shooting incidents. How's it go, Keith?
Well, here's how it goes. If the shooter is white, and the victim is non-white or particularly black, the reason for the shooting is racism or the Confederate flag. On the other hand, if the shooter is black and the victim is white, the reason is a reaction to racism or the Confederate flag.
Yeah, that sounds about
right.
And
then on the other hand, and then one other thing, two other things. If the victim is white and the shooter is white, gun control, that's what we have in Las Vegas. On the other hand, if the shooter and the victim are black, drop the story altogether and run another story about the Kardashians.
Is that pretty much it, Sean?
You know, that's the way it would appear, because I tell you, the media, from my perspective over the last week, seems very incurious about this shooting. It seems to me that they've satisfied themselves that in this case, according to Keith Alexander's breakdown, the shooter was white, and that's all we need to know. He was a crazy white gun nut, and the reason he killed these people is because he had a scary-looking gun.
And furthermore, there's no gun control, and the only way to stop these incidents is to basically lock down all the firearms in America.
We want Hillary Clinton and her people to have the only kind of guns. But now, Sean, I would ask you this. Now, we're a week into – I got an email during the break. They wanted to know why we were so racist. The greatest mass shooting in American history happened at Wounded Knee. Come on, guys. But, Sean – a week into what they're calling the greatest mass shooting in American history, why has no motive been found? And what motive could there be? I mean, seriously, I mean, I guess your hypothesis is as good as anyone else's, but we're stabbing around at this. There's different theories, there's different ideas, but it's a 60-something-year-old, very wealthy, very successful man. If he had a motive, I'd sure like to know it. And if not, is he a patsy? And if even someone else was responsible for it, what was their intention? I mean, if it was ISIS, okay, I can understand that. But, I mean, there's all sorts of missing pieces here, Sean.
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of missing pieces. There's a lot of loose threads. You've got a guy, like you said, 64 years old, very wealthy, made a ton of money in the real estate market, seemed to be, gambled, daily, as his brother described him, a professional gambler. And when I think professional gambler, I'm thinking of a poker player, not some guy who plays video poker, which I've heard gambling people say referred to as being like the crack of gambling. But otherwise, the guy has got a clean criminal record. He's got no known ties to extremist organizations. The FBI says a search of his computers, his hard drives, his phones, his gadgets all turn up nothing. I don't know. Here's what puzzles me. Las Vegas has to have probably more surveillance cameras than any other place
yes.
on planet Earth. I mean, they've got surveillance cameras that can zero in to see if you're counting cards or flipping a wrong chip in a casino. And I don't know why it is that none of that video has leaked out or been released to the public. We've got, not only the cameras from the Mandalay Bay, but also nearby hotels. And it doesn't seem like any of it has emerged. And the video that we have seen, some of it points to the fact that there may have been more than one shooter. But none of this, of course, has been confirmed by the authorities. And that is what I find very puzzling. I know that 60 Minutes is going to run a story tomorrow with four of the responding officers who kicked in the door and were the first on the scene. You know, I'd be very interested to see how that interview is going to go. I'm sure that'll be guided toward the gun control issue, and 60 Minutes, not quite the bastion of pinnacle of journalism that it once was, but I guess we'll see. But there's a lot of people out there who are very, very puzzled by the lack of information, the lack of leaks,
no kidding,
and the lack of video.
Yeah, no kidding. And the thing is,
the silence is deafening, as they say.
Well, I mean, I think we're all trying to grasp for a reason, a motive to try to make sense, what sense can be made of this. It could be that there were no reasons. If he's not a patsy, and that's a big if, but if he's not, there could be no reason. He could have just done it. But, I mean, if he was that psychopathic, it would have seemed as though those tendencies wouldn't have remained latent until mid-60s. We'll talk more about I don't want to say conspiratorial angle because that gets dismissed as kooky, but we'll talk more about other theories coming up later in the program. But maybe there is no reason. Maybe bad things just happened, and this one was bad on a calamitous scale. Keith, a final word a final word from you, and then the final word for this segment to Sean.
Well, like I said earlier, the silence is deafening. You know, when there's a white supremacist shooter, they know before the gun barrel cools exactly all of his motivation.
That's a good point.
But on this, for some reason,
10 days later, a week
nothing,
later, they don't know
this
anything.
Is a complete man of mystery. He was just a buy low, sell high house flipper and gambler who went off the rails, apparently.
I see what you're getting at.
That just does not that beggars belief.
This is a week. Yeah, it's not 10 days. It's a week later, and we don't have the first hint. I mean, everybody on the internet's got an idea or a suggestion, but we really don't have the first hard piece of evidence to hint at a motive. 7 days in, Sean, for an incident this big, you would think that all hands would be on deck to try to figure it out, and we don't have anything. Does that surprise you?
It does. It does indeed. This guy has there's no video surveillance of him anywhere. He's not really known. Anybody who's been in contact with him just kind of said he was kind of a real oddball character, antisocial, didn't really talk to very many people. He's not known at local gun ranges. The Wall Street Journal just came out with an article, I think, just a short time ago, saying that there is video of him heading to a spot in the desert where he may have been practicing his marksmanship. But, I mean, you look at the level of the sophistication of these weapons and the equipment that he had. I mean, these are AR-15s, AR-10s, outfitted with Harris bipods and advanced optics, and this guy's got no military background, no law enforcement background, no evidence of any kind of gun training anywhere. I mean, the whole thing, it's just a question wrapped up in a riddle and surrounded in an enigma.
Well, as they say, you have video from the desert, but not from Las Vegas, most heavily videotaped locale in America, probably.
Yeah, Sean just said that, right? You know, we got video of him going to the desert, but not him taking in 20 guns into a major casino on the strip. So,
yeah.
Sean, your guess is as good as ours, but I tell you what, nobody can break down what little we know better than you. And as much as I love talking to you, I hope we don't have to talk to you next Saturday, because normally when you're on, it's to talk about issues like this.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll see what Antifa has lined up for us on Monday. It's my understanding that they may be out there defacing Columbus statues, and I can tell you, I have Italian friends here in New York who are not going to look very kindly upon that.
Well, we talked about Columbus a lot, the man who earned and deserves his holiday, a man who embodies the spirit of the West, a man that we...
Check our website, Sean, on Monday, and you'll read a nice article about Columbus.
That's right. So, yeah, hey, listen, stay safe up there in New York. I hope they don't burn it down because Columbus landed in Cuba.
Yeah.
No, Italians are the new white supremacists, man, the new white Southern guys.
Yeah. Listen, hey, God bless all the Italians up there in New York and your friends, Sean. That's right. Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen on Monday, but I guarantee it's going to be a circus because Columbus isn't worthy to be honored in modern day America. Well, anyway, we'll stay tuned and pray for the best. Hey, Sean, thanks. We love you, brother. You're the best.
Yep. Thanks. Thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Sean Bergen, everybody. Former television news reporter in the biggest market in the world, New York City. He did it for a long, long time as a career, and then he landed with us after he told the truth.
He was a resounding success.
Yeah, he told the truth and he spoke
truth to power.
And then he landed in the TPC. Well, we appreciate Sean's contributions. When we come back, we got shift change here. It's halftime of the show. Eddie the Bombardier Miller in for Keith and Jim Lancia in for Sean. I'm still with you, though. We'll be back right after this.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. NBC News has reported that Secretary of State Tillerson has been on the outs with President Trump for months and is seriously considering resigning. Tillerson rarely holds a press conference, but he did this week, refuting the NBC report based on unnamed sources. The secretary said his number one priority is to promote the policies of the president. He also reacted angrily to some questions as to whether it was true that he had referred to the president as a moron. Earlier this year, the Treasury had to resort to a pretty extraordinary measure to keep the government running. During that period, the nation's official debt stood at just under $20 trillion. Hard to think in those terms, isn't it? $20 trillion. Within 24 hours of the debt ceiling being raised, the debt skyrocketed another $317 billion. One extraordinary measure the Treasury resorts to when it cannot sell more debt is to raid the federal employees' retirement fund. The fund has about $225 billion in it. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email, LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, everybody. Well, again, we have a vast reserve of resources here from which we can draw upon. And just again, I just can't repeat it enough. And I guess we say it every time these two are on. But in addition to the regular hosting staff, to have contributors and correspondents like Sean Bergen, who can break it down from the perspective of a professional television news reporter, that was his career. And then Jim Lancia, a man who spent a career in law enforcement, a retired police officer, wrote a book about his time with the badge. It's just amazing to have professionals from those two enterprises to break down issues from the perspective of a media insider and a law enforcement insider. So we often, when we have them on, we have them on in tandem, one after the other or together. But tonight, Sean was first. Now we've got Jim Lancia, author of the book Downtown White Police. You can check it out at Amazon.com. And we're going to continue on with Las Vegas. So, Jim, from a law enforcement perspective, you can take this any way you want to go, brother. I'm sure you have a lot to talk about, and there's a lot of different angles to this. From a law enforcement perspective, what jumped out to you first about the situation in Las Vegas, either during the incident itself or the response by the police or the aftermath in the 7 days thereafter? Go, Jim.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. Okay, I'm going to give you two scenarios. One of them is going to be a fact. If we take what they're giving us as far as what the mainstream is giving us, what the police spokesmen are giving us, you got one thing about this Stephen Paddock, and I don't know if any of you know this, but he did work with the Skunk Works, you know, the aerospace company, Lockheed Martin, and stuff like that. So he wasn't just some gambler. He did have defense. He did work with defense. You know, the what do you call that? You know, armaments. Manufacturers. Yes.
Defense Department of the IRS.
Military industrial establishment.
Right. Military industrial complex. Right. Okay. We also know that he was a leftist. There's actually footage of him at an anti-Trump rally. Clear footage of him. Clearly, he was an anti-Trump guy, so we could consider him a leftist. Okay, he did have literature from ISIS and Antifa on him. If we can believe what the police say, there was Antifa literature also. So if what they're telling us is true, one shooter and everything else, at the very least that comes out of this is all the hate coming from the left and all the virulent rhetoric, the anti-Trump, the anti-white, all of that would have triggered this guy into doing this terrible act. And there has to be some type of accountability from the media, from Hollywood, and even from some politicians that are triggering these people, just like that guy that shot Congressman Scalise. This is targeting, you know, people on the right, clearly. So at the very least, you know, they're triggering these nutbags into doing crazy things. But, of course, I don't believe that side. Now, being an ex-law enforcement, you got to look at conspiracy. So I'm not worried about the word conspiracy because conspiracy and crime is very prominent, okay? So, you know, when you got two guys involved in a crime, whether it's a bank robbery or anything else, you got a conspiracy. So I think this is a government, deep state government psyop. The way it happened, I know the CIA, the Mossad, they got their hands in this. Even the police department, Metro Police Department, is being frustrated on this investigation. They're being blocked from all angles. That's why you see that sheriff, he's very frustrated sometimes when he's talking. He's being blocked in a lot of different ways.
He's right on money.
But there is definitely more than one shooter. They're covering it up. So if you cover one thing up, then you're covering everything up. Many eyewitness accounts, you cannot discount the fact that many eyewitness accounts were talking about many different shooters. If you listen to the police radio calls, the Las Vegas Police Department, they confirmed it was more than one shooter while it was going on. You can access that. So the cops themselves confirmed more than one shooter. There could be as many as three or four. There were flashes coming from the lower floors of the Mandalay Bay and shots coming from other directions. Now, okay, I'll give a motive for it, but then I'll get into a little bit more. Of course, it's all about gun control and putting fear into people. But you also got people that are going to make money with these new metal detectors going in Las Vegas and all that, and increased security, which is going to limit our freedoms, of course. But that goes way deep into this. Are you guys aware that there was another FEMA drill going on in Las Vegas at that very time?
Didn't know about that, but this is
FEMA drill was scheduled. They were there, just like Sandy Hook, just like 9/11, all this other, just like the Boston bombing. All FEMA drills were taking place during those incidents. So it has false flag written all over it. But the kind of false flag where people get injured. You got a false flag like Sandy Hook, where I believe nobody was injured. And then you have false flags like 9/11, where 3,000 people were killed. And just like here, if people were killed here, it's a false flag where people die. And we have deep state, CIA that are willing to kill our own people to further whatever their agenda is.
You're so right, Jim.
One other thing, though, and we cannot be afraid to call things a false flag. The government has admitted to false flags. It's documented in Operation Northwoods. But everything is a false flag, from the Gulf of Tonkin to whatever, even the battleship Maine. I mean, that is part of the MO of the U.S. government for starting wars or doing what they want. So, yes, I believe it's a conspiracy, and I believe it is a false flag. But the one where they're willing to kill 59 people and wound almost 500. Also, I had a problem with the 72-minute SWAT response. I'm sorry. I've done SWAT raids myself. 72 minutes in a large police department like Metro Las Vegas. There's no excuse for taking 72 minutes to get cops up on there, knock that door down, and put an end to that shooting.
That was incredible.
In less than half that time, it's it's incredible to have to wait for a SWAT team. I write about it in my book about cops waiting for SWAT teams. You know, we never had to do that before. We rushed in. We did what we had to do. It's dangerous. That's right. It's dangerous. And but you got to stop these guys. You can't let someone fire automatic weapons out of a floor for 72 minutes. It's ridiculous.
You know, Jim, this is Ed here. I tell you what, you're hitting on all cylinders, my brother. You've covered just about every point that I would have covered in this. You know, earlier on when you first started, you talked about don't be afraid to use the term conspiracy. Absolutely. I think you would agree that when someone calls you a conspiracy theorist, that's kind of like calling someone a racist to shut them up. You know, because,
exactly.
You know, we both know, and you mentioned it, two people, all a conspiracy is two people or more getting together to commit a crime. You covered that. You know, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, said if anything happens in government, it was planned. It did not happen accidentally, you know. That's true. And, you know, Sean, people keep talking about motive. Well, as far as I'm concerned, the motive doesn't matter. What the motive of the shooter is, the motive of the people behind the shooter. And you mentioned false flags. That's so well documented. Go back, and you mentioned the Gulf of Tonkin, which is so true. God's into Vietnam. You mentioned the battleship Maine, so true. And also the Lusitania. The ship Lusitania got us in the First World War, going all the way back. And look, and people's talked about tonight on the radio saying this is the greatest mass shooter in history in the United States. No, it was not. Waco, Mount Carmel was the greatest shooter. Killed people by the government killed 84, 86 of our people.
Yeah, but that was white people getting killed, yeah. So that doesn't count. Wounded knee counts.
Right.
And you know,
here's one of the things that bothered me. You got a lot of people saying, oh, let the dead mourn or mourn the dead and just take the story that you're being given because these people are dying, you're going to disrespect them. That's the most asinine thing anybody could say. The only way to actually respect those who were killed there is to try to find out who actually did it to prevent it again from happening again.
You nailed it. Absolutely, you nailed it. All these things that we're hearing coming from the left, you know, don't disrespect the dead. That's just another way to throw people off the track. And you know, Jim, and it's just one man's opinion. Now, and once again, I discount the shooter's motive. I've heard also, I think he might have been connected to the CIA, to the deep state, personally. I've heard that. You know, And like the Hegelian dialectic says, you know, you want to create a problem. And Sean, Jim, the end game here, the end game, and this is one man's opinion, is to ultimately do the same thing they did at Charlottesville, the same thing they did in New Orleans and in Pikeville, and here and now Las Vegas, is to create fear in the people, to create a crisis where people scream out for relief, and the government says, okay, we're going to give you relief. We're going to take you into a new world order, into a police state. That's the end
game. All right, that gets to something I want to cover when we come back with the one and only Jim Lancia, former police officer, author of the book Downtown White Police.
Jim's nailing
Amazon.com. That's why he's on the team. We'll be back.
Right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
I just want to say I agree with what Eddie said in terms of the definition of conspiracy. You don't want to throw out the term conspiracy theory because it immediately makes you think, well, that's kooky, it's discredited. But of course, all a conspiracy is more than a couple of people conspiring to take an action or an endeavor. And of course, that happens all of the time. And so I think immediately, if you say conspiracy theory, the first thing that would come to mind is 9/11. But see, 9/11 makes perfect sense to me. Why would you want a false flag in 9/11? Well, obviously, you need a war so the military-industrial complex can make a little money, and it's a great false flag. If you blow up the buildings, blame it on someone else. Not that the Muslims are our friends by any stretch of the imagination, and they may or may not have done it, or perhaps they did it, and it was known that they were going to do it, and they allowed it to happen. Who's to say? But that makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. You could see it immediately why they would want that to happen, so they can go to war and make some money. But in this case,
they also wanted to pass the Patriot Act, which they already had written.
That's true.
Before 9/11 ever happened.
That's a great play, Jim.
You nailed it again.
I tell you what, I mean, Eddie and I were both remarking about how on the money Jim Lancia is tonight, and he truly is.
Nailed it again.
But that's correct. Now, in this one, though, now we can't see as far as they've planned ahead, but in this one, you could say, well, maybe they want to go after gun control. But I'll tell you, gun control is never going to go down because it's not because, obviously, our craven politicians are so sturdy on that issue. It's because they're going to take the path of least resistance, and they're going to go to the highest bidder. And thankfully, the gun lobby is the highest bidder, so you can count on the politicians to stay firm on that because they're getting paid a lot of money by the NRA and other organizations. So I don't think gun control would be the only reason they did this. So that's the question
one
to you, Jim. Well, maybe, but it's not going to go anywhere because the gun lobby is too well-funded.
Well, they haven't given up yet, though.
Well, they'll keep going. That's a non-starter. I'm not worried about that right now. So, Jim, if it's not, I mean, 9/11, you could see the answer. What's the answer here? Let's just say it's a conspiracy. Paddock had little to nothing to do with it. Why? Who is to benefit from this? Who benefits?
Let me chime in one time. Once again, the term conspiracy theorist rates right there with racist. Call someone a white supremacist. It's a shut up term. It's a you shut up term. You're a racist. You're a homophobe. You're a you're a chauvinist pig.
Yep.
You're a conspiracy.
But in this case, they haven't even come out with the standard media line.
One more point. You've never seen God. I've never seen God. You've never seen, but you see the results of God. You can see the after effect, the results. We don't have to know the motive. We don't have to know if it's a conspiracy or not. We don't have to prove that. We can see the results of what's happening here. And the results, what's happening, is leading toward what the globalists want. They want to fear everybody. I'm going to talk this back to Jim. They want to scare the hell out of everyone. They want to say, we got to get your guns. We're going to have to, our government's not getting it. We got to go into a police state. We have to go into the United Nations because they're much more superior than us. We have to become just little sheep and join the New World Order. Now, back to Jim now.
Do you think that's what it is, Jim? I mean, again, as I said to Sean earlier,
it's
a good answer as any.
Part of it. They got their, listen, their motives are nefarious. We can't think like them. They're thinking way ahead of us. We're not evil like they are. So they're thinking of stuff that we can't even think about right now. But they do have a plan. As far as the gun control, sure, they're not going to go after guns, but they're going to keep harping about it, talking about it. Then they'll use it as a bargaining chip. Okay, we won't mess with guns, but you pass this, don't pass this. It's always a bargaining chip. That's why they went right, without even the bodies being cold, they went right after guns again. Everybody, Hollywood, everybody went right after them. So, of course, it's just another way to use as a bargaining chip. As far as other stuff, they're already talking about Chertoff having his hands in this and making more money like he did on some of the other things with more security measures. Just another taking away of our liberties in many different ways that we can't even think of, okay? But as far as conspiracy, the word conspiracy theory came from the Kennedy assassination. CIA developed that just to shut everybody up. But now we can all agree that it was one hell of a conspiracy, the Kennedy assassination, wasn't it? Even the FBI admits there was more than one shooter. They have to admit that now. And how about all the witnesses? Over 100 people involved as witnesses died? I mean, it's like, it's incredible. Of course, it's a conspiracy. That's the very definition of a conspiracy. But of course, they'll turn it into something where, you can't question anything. But as a police officer, if you don't question what's in front of you or what can be hidden, you'd never solve a crime. You can't take everybody's version of something and then think you're gonna run with that. But yes, like he was saying, they have a plan that we may not even be seeing. Because we just can't think like them. But they're going to do
Jim, what we can. Jim, we can't. And here's how you can do it. See, I'm 70 years old. I'm probably older than you. They publish, Jim. If you read their writings, they hide what they're going to do in plain sight. For instance, you can read Foreign Affairs that comes from the, you know, from the Trial Commission and from the Conference on Foreign Relations. You can read all the publications they put out, and they tell us, Jim. They tell us we are going to kill you. We're going to eliminate from 80% to 90% of the population of the world. We're going to get your guns. They tell us step by step how they do it.
Yeah, well, I think we actually have a caller, Jim, and that's where that's coming from. So let's go now to Miles right here in Memphis. Miles, what do you got for us?
Hey, good evening.
Good evening.
Y'all are spot on with this conspiracy theory. And I just wanted to make one comment, and then I'll hang up and hope for you and Eddie and everybody's response. And conspiracy starts with theories. But when you have proof, it's no longer really, a conspiracy. It's
right.
Not a theory anymore. It's a real conspiracy. So what I'm saying is that, well, look at Abe Lincoln, okay? Sherman's March to the Sea. I believe that sums it up. There's not much of a conspiracy theory there, but a conspiracy. And I'll hang up and thank you.
Hey, thank you, Miles. Always great to hear somebody listening on the local AM dial here in Memphis. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's hard to even have a conspiracy on this one because we don't even know what the official story is on this guy yet after a week. That's just amazing to me. And as Jim said, I mean, we can't see what they have planned. I mean, they may have plans. Either they planned this and they have plans that that haven't been made known yet, or they're going to take advantage of the situation like they always do with any disaster.
James, listen.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. Why is FEMA always having a drill at all these disasters? Does anybody ever question that? San Bernardino, they were everywhere. They're always having a drill, but nobody questions that. Oh, they just happened to be in Vegas at the time of this shooting. That's crazy. I mean,
New Orleans?
That in itself is a red flag, but doesn't anybody talk about that? It's crazy.
Well, and I'll say this, folks, when you listen to Jim Lancia say that, and I agree with him, let me state that first, but also, this isn't just somebody we found on the corner to bring on the show tonight. This is a man who spent his life serving and protecting the citizens of his community as a police officer. You're talking to a retired police officer who spent a life wearing the badge. So when an officer of the law comes and speaks like this, this is why we have Jim on, because he speaks with authority. It carries a lot more weight. And so continue on, Jim. Final thoughts on your takeaways from Las Vegas. Anything we haven't you haven't had time to share yet that you
Jim, you're nailing it tonight, son.
Well, what's going on too is again that response. But here's another thing: they're coming out with information that they're completely denying. Oh, he has no ties to ISIS. Then they say he has. So you cannot come out in an investigation as wide open as this and come out and confirm anything right now, okay? But they're confirming things that they shouldn't be confirming, and then they're playing dumb on things that they should probably already know right now. There were more than one shooter. They're hiding that. Why are they hiding that? Even the cops know. The cops are leaking things out that they're frustrated. They're being blocked by deep state or, you know, whether they think they're legitimate CIA or not. And remember, we still must remember that even if he is connected to ISIS, now they're saying he may not be connected. The CIA funds ISIS. The CIA created ISIS. Even
yes,
President
they did.
Trump admitted that they do. But so we don't have, so we have no problem thinking that the CIA would be behind this when they're funding all the wars, they're funding our enemies and aiding our enemies in all these wars. I mean, this is crazy not to even think that they got their hands in this. Even CIA, ex-CIA agent John Steele, he says this is Mossad CIA all the way, and he explains it. So you guys should look into what he said. I mean, this guy says he's actually been involved in false flags. So he knows this has got their hands all over it. This is no
Jim, they created the Mujahideen. They created the Mujahideen, the Al-Qaeda that was a spinoff on the Mujahideen. The CIA created them too, Jim. Absolutely. You're right. You're spot on, Jim. You're spot on, fella.
Well, Jim, let me ask you this. We only have seconds remaining. Eddie said this is just another incident that will help us hasten the race to a new world order, so-called. I mean, what do you think the powers that be are planning to do with this? What's the end game?
Absolutely correct. There's two things that they're going to do eventually. These are the two main things they want to do. They want everybody microchipped and have a cashless society so they can control everybody and track everybody. And they want to take away the guns. They may not be able to do it yet, but they want to. The UN has a plan to do it. It's all there on paper to disarm the United States. It's on paper. This is not some conspiracy. It's already on paper. Look it up. UN's plan to disarm the United States. And with all the power Obama's administration gave to the UN, you know, that's eventually going to be attempted. So when that's going to happen, I don't know. But that's what they want. They have to disarm the American public, and they want to microchip the whole world. So that sounds crazy, but it's absolutely
got a question
what
for you,
they
Jim.
Want to do.
Before we go, I got a question. Will the police in the United States or will the military stand with American people when the UN troops come in?
Yes or no?
They're going to be very divided. It's going to be a big problem. They're going to be divided, but a lot will side with the New World Order. I'm sorry to say that.
All right, Jim. Hey, brother, I know you wouldn't be one of those. We love you. You're a patriot. We'll be back with the third and final hour.
Jim nailed it, son.